You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I am Margie Breen from the Respect Life office in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I'm sort of subbing today, this morning, for Mary Louise Curry as host, but she is on the line with us. She was unable to be with us in studio, so she asked me, her normal producer, I'm usually behind the glass, not having to do this, so you can probably see or actually hear the cobwebs, but that's okay. We'll get through this, and I've got some great guys here backing me up. Brian Brock behind the glass, you know, as our board operator, engineer, whatever you want to call him, everything, versatile. Mary Louise is the director of the Respect Life office, and she will be with us on the phone. And I've got Mitch Streedle, who is the youth outreach coordinator for the Respect Life office. Welcome, Mitch.
Good morning.
And I've got Father Jim Hyde, and he is, I guess, his new title is, it sounds pretty cool, Archbishop's Delegate to the Pro-Life Movement. Welcome, Father Hyde.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Thank you. And Mary Louise, I think she's on the phone. Welcome to you.
Hi, Margie. Thanks for taking the reins today in the studio, and we have a great show lined up. I'm very excited about all the important information we're going to discuss today, starting with what's going on at the cathedral right now.
Yeah, as most people know, that there was a fire at Holy Name Cathedral early this morning, pretty shocking, and I heard it early in the morning on the radio, but the fire was just under the roof and between, I guess, the ceiling and the roof in the catwalk area, and the sprinkler system was activated, so there was a lot of water, and the fire is now out. So thankfully, the firefighters did a phenomenal job. Cardinal George talked to reporters this morning after viewing the inside of the cathedral, and he praised firefighters for their quick work and said they did a great job, a good job in minimizing any damage. And, you know, as many of you know, as many of our listeners know, the cathedral was closed for quite some time, and a lot of repair and then renovation, and renovation is still going on at the cathedral, and just recently reopened for daily mass. One firefighter did suffer some minor injuries, and as we know, the cause is still unknown. So that's what we do know about it. Feel free to call us at 312-255-8408. Sorry, I'm dyslexic in the morning. I don't know. I'd like to just talk about this for a little bit and reflect on what happened and the tragedy of what that cathedral has been through in just the past few years. Father Hyde, what are your thoughts as a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago?
It's a place with a lot of significance. It's the really the central church of the Archdiocese. So we have many celebrations, ordinations, not just the parish itself at the cathedral, but archdiocesan events take place. There are ordinations and other great events, and the cardinal's, his cathedra there is, his chair is there, so he, that's his church, and so this is significant. It's a tragedy, and Chicago has, and the symbol of the Archdiocese is the phoenix, and that is after the Chicago fire, we adopted that symbol that will overcome, the phoenix rising from the flames, so we'll overcome this situation and rebuild and continue on.
Absolutely. I think, too, that the cathedral has been through a lot in the past few years with issues with the ceiling and things like that, but what's always struck me is how resilient Father Male and that parish community is. And, of course, the hats of all of the cardinals of Chicago hang above the sanctuary area from the ceiling in the cathedral, and it's just a wonderfully historic building and, of course, has tremendous meaning for all of us as Catholics, so Father Jim, do you want to just lead us in a little prayer to pray for the rebuilding of the cathedral and especially for the cathedral parish community at this time?
The church is a people of faith that survives in arduous and difficult moments, and so we ask the Lord who restores us to life always to help us to rebuild, to stand in solidarity with the parishioners at Holy Name who have dedicated so much of their time and energy and talent in just fixing up this cathedral recently, that they know our solidarity with them. We ask the Lord's blessings and protection over all of them, and we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Wow. So, you know, we just hope and pray that this doesn't, you know, the repairing doesn't take as long and they can get it done. And the Cardinal sounded really optimistic on television, you know, at a press conference that just ended a few minutes prior to the start of the show. And he saw it, and he said he saw icicles on the pews already because the water, I mean, that is pretty shocking, you know. And he said the lights were still on, and it looked like the cathedral, like nothing happened except for, like, all the icicles in the water. But, you know.
Well, I think we're thankful no one was seriously hurt. And
yeah.
It sounds like Father Compton, the associate there, was able to, bring out the Blessed Sacrament from the church and save that as well. So we're thankful
praise
for those.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, you know, looking back on some of the events that the Archdiocese, our Respect Life office, has been involved in, I really was very impressed by what Mitch and Alicia and Mary Louise, what you guys did with the pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. And I wanted to reflect on that just a bit at the beginning of the show, because I think it's so important what we did in knowing that, all branches, not all branches of our government, but, you know, the executive and the legislative branch is pretty much controlled by pro-abortion forces. And even the Supreme Court, it's still not with us, you know, as we know or understand, at least. But things could change on that level. But that was so significant for us to go, right? You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
The March for Life had such a great turnout this year. My understanding is it's the largest March for Life ever. There were more than 300,000 people there, and we brought five buses, three buses of teens for the teen pilgrimage, which Mitch put together, and then two buses, doubling our numbers from previous years, of college students and young adults. And then in addition, there were other buses there from Chicago as well. I know St. John Cantius sent a couple of buses. Some of the high schools sent groups on their own, so there was a nice turnout there from Chicago, and I was excited about the great turnout there. Mitch, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I think it was a phenomenal turnout. One of the things I was impressed with, and Cardinal Regaldi, during his homily at the vigil mass for a basilica, had mentioned, there's so many people in the media and the culture who had kind of pronounced that, oh, this year, the pro-life movement will, feel defeated, will, be down about the cause of life and the things they've been fighting for, but that he didn't see that, especially at the vigil mass, that he saw many missionaries there and bringing the gospel of life to D.C., and, especially even with the teens. I know at the Verizon Center, we usually have a youth rally and mass in the morning we participate in, and there were so many thousands of people that got shut out that just couldn't fit into the Verizon Center this year. It continues to grow in size.
Yeah.
So it's always, I think, inspiring to see how the youth are responding, even in this moment where certainly the most recent election didn't go the way we'd wanted for the pro-life cause. And so to see so many teens and youth, converge this year and to make it greater numbers is hopeful.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have to take a break right now, but we would welcome your calls. If you could call us, make this show more exciting. No, it's already exciting, but our number is 312-255-8408, and we welcome your calls. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk more about the March for Life.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you're a young person aged 13 to 30, you're invited to the Bread of Life Retreat. It's scheduled for February 27th to March 1st at St. Benedict's Parish on West Irving Park Road in Chicago.
Join hundreds of young people for 3 days of prayer, adoration, singing, and learning more about our Catholic faith. Cardinal Francis George and Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra will be present to celebrate Mass and speak to our youth.
This Eucharistic-centered retreat will transform youth from being passive Christians to being active disciples of Jesus Christ.
Visit our website at www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484 for more information.
That's www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484.
Register today and be part of the Bread of Life retreat that will open hearts and change lives.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Margie Breen from the Respect Life office, in for Mary Louise Curry, but she is on the phone, and I've got Father Hyde, who's the delegate, the Archbishop's delegate to the pro-life movement. You got a long tongue twister of a title, Father Hyde, and Mitch Streedle from my office, a colleague of mine, youth outreach coordinator, and we were talking about the March for Life trip and how inspiring it was and how hopeful it was, and that procession at the vigil mass. I understand that it went almost 40 minutes long. Mitch, can you tell me about that? Like, how many bishops were there? You know, it must have been a whole lot of bishops.
Yeah, well, you know, it seems to the procession grows each and every year, kind of just like, you know, we were talking earlier about the youth rally, and I think that's important to realize there are more and more people, and, you know, there was over 40 bishops, you know, so many seminarians. I think that's, you know, another hopeful point about that procession. You see hundreds, you know, of seminarians.
And there were five cardinals there, mm-hmm. which I've never seen. I've been going to that mass for, gosh, I think that was my eighth time. I've never seen five cardinals. In addition to Cardinal George and Cardinal Regali, there were, Cardinal O'Malley was there. Do you guys remember who the other ones were? Oh, Cardinal DiNardo, mm-hmm. who is the newest cardinal from Houston, and then I believe Cardinal Keeler, the retired Baltimore cardinal. So that it was exciting to see that. I've never seen that before. And then, of course, Archbishop Wuerl and, you know, many of the leading bishops of our country as well. So there is just a tremendous show of support for the gospel of life from the church. That's just a great blessing. I think we can be so proud of our bishops, and especially Cardinal George. He is always, especially now, he's so busy with all of his USCCB commitments as president of the USCCB and with many obligations in Rome, but he always makes the March for Life and especially that vigil mass a priority, and the gathering with the Chicago Pilgrims. Mitch, you did a great job with that, and maybe we should just share with people what that was like, our private gathering with the Cardinal with all the teens and young adults.
Yeah, you know, it was great. We had the opportunity, and the Cardinal always makes time to be able to meet with the Archdiocese delegation when he's out in D.C. for the March for Life. So it was great. You know, we had the seminarians there, the college students, the high school teens, and, you know, he takes questions and, you know, from the teens, and it's always a great gathering. It's always, you know, I think all the teens and the, you know, the college students are so grateful to have that time with the Cardinal, and, you know, we are blessed to have the Cardinal as our leader in this archdiocese, and it was a great event, you know, definitely.
That's terrific. And maybe we should talk a little bit also about Speak Out Illinois. That was a major event that just happened in the Chicago area. Was that just last weekend?
It was. Isn't it kind of like a blur?
There's been so much that's happened since then.
Yeah. And Mary Louise, you did such a wonderful job emceeing the event. And even though you were under the weather a bit, but I couldn't tell at all. It was so inspiring because, you know, in years past, it's been kind of lightly attended. You know, it's still a decent turnout. But this year we had, I think, exactly 411 people in the adult section, and then in Teen Speak there were 127 teens registered for that. It was just really amazing, and I think back to Mary Louise when we did that show back in November. You were talking about how it's sort of a kick in the pants, you know, what happened, you know, and that we need to, you know, wake up, you know, and the people need to start doing things, and I think they are. And you can see it by the March for Life and Speak Out numbers increasing. People want to know what they can do to build a culture of life.
Absolutely. And what makes the Speak Out event so unique is that it's a collaboration of more than 30 pro-life groups from throughout the state of Illinois that collaborate, that come together to sponsor one major kind of educational and networking event each year. And the speakers, I thought, this year were really terrific. Father Tom Eitenauer, Dr. Alveda King, who is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Phyllis Schlafly. It was just a great day. And especially I was very moved, well, both by Father Eitenauer's discussion of abortion overseas and how prevalent that is, of course, and how the U.S. is actually now again paying for abortions overseas, which is just crazy. And then also Dr. King's testimony, which is so appropriate now during Black History Month in particular.
Yeah, and basically, you know, when, you know, you're talking about overseas abortions, okay, and, you know, I think this flows right into us talking about Mexico City policy and how our, you know, President Obama has overturned the ban on overseas funding. And, you know, it's just, it's interesting how the people in our country, when polled by Gallup, 58% disapproved of it, and only 35% approved. That is really telling. And Mary Louise, I would think that with those numbers, he wouldn't want to do anything else, you know, that's not pro-life.
Absolutely, I have to admit, I was shocked, and I was very happy about those numbers. It shows that the American people have a much better understanding and awareness of these life issues than many people think, that people can clearly see why is the U.S. paying, using taxpayer dollars to pay for killing the children of other nations. And I thought that was very powerful. I think it's a very positive sign that people understand the impact of paying for abortions overseas and how that's so damaging to the world community, and especially now at a time when we need to be reaching out to the poor. You know, this is a difficult economic period, not just for our nation, but for the whole world. And so we really need to be providing real assistance to the poor here and overseas at this time, and certainly not paying to kill innocent human beings.
Last year I was... I traveled abroad in a couple of places. First of all, last January, I ended up in East Africa, in Uganda, in Tanzania. And then just recently, I was in Mexico for the World Congress of Families. And you're right, Mary Louise, because I talked to bishops in both of these areas, and they're very concerned because the people, like in Uganda, they want to have development in their country, a good maternal health, but they you know, detest the fact that we're going to send condoms over there or force this abortion agenda on them. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't build good international relationships with other countries. And you're right, the majority of Americans abhor this kind of policy.
Well, we're going to have to go to a break now, but when we come back, we're going to have Bob Gilligan, the Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, on the phone with us. So we're really excited about that. You can call with questions or comments, 312-255-8408.
It's time to sign up for Parish Leadership Evangelization Day 2009. It will be held Saturday, February 7th at Maria High School on South California Avenue in Chicago.
Choose from more than 90 workshops presented in English, Spanish, and Polish. Workshops will deal with everyday problems faced by most parishes, raising funds, improving bulletins, increasing participation.
And Cardinal George will once again answer your questions during a lively and entertaining box lunch visit with attendees.
So go to our website at www.archchicago.org for all the details, or call 312-534-8364.
That's www.archchicago.org or 312-534-8364.
If you want to become more active in your parish, Parish Leadership Evangelization Day is the place to be on February 7th.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Margie Breen with the Respect Life Office, and I'm joined with Mary Louise Curry on the phone, director of the Respect Life Office, and she's co-hosting from afar, and Father Jim Hyder, the Archbishop's delegate to the pro-life movement, and Mitch Streedle, coordinator of youth outreach for the Respect Life Office. And we have a special guest, Bob Gilligan, executive director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and he's with us now. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Great. And Mary Louise, you're still there, right?
I sure am.
Oh, and, wonderful.
I'm excited to have Bob on the phone because I'm very excited in particular about this this bill that we are going to be introducing. Bob, would you like to tell our listeners about this proactive bill that that's going to be coming up?
Yeah. Thanks, Mary Louise. Thanks, Margie. And I guess this is the show from afar. I'm actually at the Capitol in Springfield this morning. And working on trying to come up with some sponsors and co-sponsors for legislation that Mary Louise was talking about. Here's what we want to do. It's pretty simple. We are want to enact a state law that would simply mandate the offering of an ultrasound to a woman prior to an abortion procedure. As listeners may be aware, it's common for an ultrasound to be performed for a lot of reasons, for medical liability reasons and for a number of other reasons prior to an abortion procedure. But what we have found is that it is not always offered to the woman so that she can see the child in its stage of development. And so what we're simply hoping to do is to require the person performing the abortion to simply ask the person if they would like to see the ultrasound or not. You know, what we think is, if we could get this legislation passed, is clearly this shows the humanity of a human life. And we are hoping that if the person has the opportunity to see it, they will do so. And upon seeing the ultrasound of the unborn child, it would, I think, lead many people to not go ahead with the procedure, and perhaps we could save a few lives right up to the moment before the actual abortion takes place. It's being done in a few states. Such legislation is introduced in North Dakota and in Kansas, and we've been trying to take the various versions of legislation across the country. So that's our proposal, and that's what I'm doing down here today, hopefully getting some co-sponsors. So as Mary Louise indicated, we can do something proactively. I know a lot of people in the pro-life movement get discouraged, because it does seem at times that we're always playing defense and we're always asking people to call their legislator to vote no because of something that the pro-abortion community is advocating for. So this will be an opportunity to get involved and urge people to vote yes for something. And it's a simple ask. I don't think we're really putting an undue burden on the medical community. And it's a very common sense approach to pro-life legislation that I hope we can get we want to get a dialogue started. That's really what we want to do. We want to get a dialogue started, and I want the people who are against this to come forward and articulate their reasons, because there can't be a founded reasons for opposing a bill like this.
Absolutely. I think it's tremendous, too, because there are a large number of late-term abortions that are done, particularly in the Chicago area.
Yep.
I know of at least two very, I don't know how you want to say it, prolific late-term abortion facilities. And you know, I just can't imagine after seeing the picture of this is what your child looks like right now. Studies have shown that many women choose life after seeing the ultrasound of their unborn baby, and I think this will be a great blessing. And it's an issue of informed consent, also.
Yep.
If a woman is going to undergo an abortion, she should have a full understanding of what exactly is going to take place, and seeing an ultrasound, I think, would make a big difference.
I agree. And in our society and in our culture, it's very difficult to argue against more information. We have an information overload society. We're always advocating that there should be, you know, more information about nutrition on packages, more information given to, on medical decisions. I mean, that is the way our culture is going. And it's hard to argue that in this situation, more information wouldn't be better. And the second point you brought up, Mary Louise, is a very good one, and I should have mentioned it. I'm doing these numbers off the top of my head, but last year in Illinois, there were approximately 46,000 abortions performed. We took a look at the numbers, and the Guttmacher Institute, that listeners are familiar with, that's the sort of the research arm of the pro-abortion industry, indicates that it's kind of, the numbers are kind of rough, but we think there was at least 5,000, if not more, abortions performed after the 12th week. There's this mythical trimester notion that's out there. But we think there were at least 5,000 performed after the 12th week. And if that's the case, I think our proposal, if it passed, I'm willing to bet that a significant number of those 5,000 would have been born.
Yeah.
Would have been born. And I would argue that I think a significant number before 12th week would also be born if women had a chance to see. And you know, for women who have experienced this, and we've all seen these, you can see the heartbeat after, I forgot the time, but it's very, very soon after conception. You know, the fingers, the toes, and all those things that we're familiar with. I think it's really hard to make that decision to terminate the life of that child after you can see it. You know, you can see it. It's just not a concept. It changes the whole dynamics. You know, to say a picture's worth a thousand words is probably an understatement in this case.
Yes, absolutely. And Bob, maybe just share with people, too. There's going to be an opportunity for people to come to Springfield and make a difference on this legislation.
Yes, and we are holding something called, we're organizing an event called Catholics at the Capitol Day. It's on March 4th, and it's in Springfield. It begins at 10 o'clock in the morning. Cardinal Francis George, the Illinois bishops, the Catholic Conference Board, Mary Louise, your office, the other Respect Life offices throughout the state, all of the Catholic community is invited to participate in this day. And really what we're trying to do is come to Springfield as a Catholic community to advocate our issues in the public square. You know, I think for too long Catholics have been a little timid and silent about such things, so what the bishops are doing is they're going to be here meeting with legislative leadership, with the governor, we hope, and some other legislators. And we want support from the Catholic community. We need real people who vote, who get involved in the process, to come down here. And we're organizing buses of people and a trip down here. So anybody who's interested, please feel free to contact our office. We are, this is just one bill amongst seven that we'll be advocating for. And if people are a little hesitant about, you know, meeting with legislators and things like that, don't be. We're going to have a briefing session. We're going to walk you through some of the issues. We'll try to get you as comfortable as we possibly can. You'll be in good company. Mary Louise and many of her staff will be there. The bishops will be there. We'll have a lot of Catholic school children down to advocate for many other issues. So March 4th is the date.
Sounds like a party. Hey,
yep.
You know, if anybody wants to call in and ask Bob about how, you know, how he came up with this or why he came up with this, or if he's the one that came up with
yeah, that's
you know, who came up with this great idea. Our number is 312-255-8408. But we're going to need to go to a break. But when we get back, we will still have Bob on the line to tell us more about this wonderful event, Catholics at the Capitol.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church, around the corner, or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Margie Breen with the Respect Life office, and if you've just tuned in, you've probably seen the news about Holy Name Cathedral and about a fire there in the catwalk area between the roof and the ceiling of the cathedral, and there's extensive damage to the roof of Holy Name. So it's really a sad day for us here in the Archdiocese, but we will rebuild, and, you know, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, I think that's what Father Jim Hyde, who's with us today, had said earlier in the show. But, you know, looking at the pictures from the Chicago Tribune website story, it's just unbelievable, you know, what had happened this morning to our wonderful, you know, cathedral, the jewel of the Archdiocese. And the Cardinal was just, you know, very positive and very thankful to the firefighters for doing such a wonderful job and saving, you know, basically saving the inside. I mean, we don't know what the damage is, but it's really a testament to their hard work and Chicago's wonderful firefighters. So, but we just pray for the parish, the cathedral parish, and for Father Mayall, the pastor, and for our Archbishop Cardinal George, you know, because they're going to have a lot on their plate, you know, and it's a lot of sadness. So, but we're back here, and I'm with in studio with Father Jim Hyde, delegate, the Archbishop's delegate to the pro-life movement. I was going to say community, but probably the same thing. And Mitch Striedel, youth outreach coordinator in the Respect Life office. And on the phone, my co-host, who is normally the host, Mary Louise Curry, director of the Respect Life office, and our guest, Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference of Illinois. If anyone has a question for Bob or for any of us on any of the topics we've talked about so far, you can reach us at 312-255-8408. We welcome your calls. And Bob, you know, Mitch was talking to me during the break, and he had some things that he wanted to talk about with you about Catholics at the Capitol.
Sure.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Mitch.
Well, I was just mentioning it to Margie. Maybe you can touch on this, you know, about this event. I think it's wonderful that you're putting this together. And that we're putting something, you know, proactive out there with this ultrasound bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people sometimes don't realize that, you know, Springfield and kind of this on this local level, they have much greater access to their legislators. They can really have a big impact. And it's fairly easy when you go down there, you know, just walking in, you know, if they have time, they let you in. It's not like going out to D.C. or going to the March for Life. It's something on a local level where you can have a big impact. So maybe just touching on that and a little bit.
No, you know what? You know what, Mitch? You're right. And I joke with people is you need to understand Springfield is not like watching the West Wing. It's not the same thing. You know, it is fairly easy to come down here. I know it's a bus ride and things like that, but once you're here, you know, the legislators, they're pretty much in committees or walking around or in their office. And so, you know, gathering a couple people from the district, and that's really all we're talking about. We're talking about a handful of people to come in and meet with them for a couple minutes and point out to the particular state rep that you're a voter, you're in the district, and you care, and here's the issue you want to talk about. It can mean a difference. And I think, you know, for a lot of the people, like on your staff, Mary Louise, I know we had this experience when we came down there on advocating against the attempt to gut and eliminate a parental notification law. You know, in a day or two down here, if you are fairly well organized, you can touch a lot of people. And it's important for us to do that because other groups do it, and other groups do it in mass. And so the old adage of, you know, nature abhors a vacuum is true, because if we're not down there, somebody else will be down there. And we need to do it as well, if not better, than people who are on the other side of our issues. So, mm-hmm. Mitch, you're right. And you don't have to be sophisticated. Quite frankly, the more that you are just in tune with your community and you're a voter and you live in a district, the better off you are. Legislators like to hear from, you know, quote-unquote, real people.
Absolutely.
And they will try to make the time for you to see them and meet with them. And I have to say, even if for some reason you know, something unforeseen happens, like they're in a committee or they have to be in meetings, you know, you leave your contact information, you leave your card, they'll call you back. Mm-hmm. Or you can meet with them in the district, which is actually just as effective as coming to Springfield. So you're right. It's not that hard.
Bob, that's great. And, you know, it looks like we have a caller.
Sure.
John has a question. And John, are you there? John? Hello?
John seems to be AWOL at the moment, but we can come back to John in just a second.
I think he's there. John, do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I have a question. I don't look at this as all positive, and the reason is, and I'll make it quick, but, you know, we talk about how we gather, excuse me, in Washington, how we have, you know, supposedly the support of the bishops and cardinal. And I can give you plenty of examples where they're confused or they don't support the individual parish, but there's not enough time. I know that's kind of throwing something out, but I have to get into more details about position papers and other things that are in the political realm. But the question is for Bob Gilligan, because of this, when we were going through a civil problems in the 60s, civil rights weren't really existent for black people like white people, as an example. You know, we took it out of the church. We were praying. We were community. We took it out of the church. We went into the streets. Black, white, red, whatever color the people were, they were behind this movement because it was the right movement. We are not anywhere near that in the pro-life movement. In fact, we have dissension and almost enemies from within. They're priests, they're religious, they're regular folks, they're confused, they don't understand, and the church has made, it's so disappointing at times. It's so weak in its communication of the basic truth of the gospel at times that it's hard for me to take it. Mm-hmm. So when, Mr. Gilligan, is the Catholic Church gonna you know, bring all this energy into a civil rights-like movement? I've been waiting. When's it going to happen?
Bob? Yeah. And John, you know, I think you have a valid point. I'm not disagreeing with some of the premise of your statement. But I can say that I think what we're trying to do here, this Catholics at the Capitol event, is a step in what you're recommending, which is trying to, mobilize the Catholic community in the right direction. And, you know, the frustration that I feel, John, as well, is I've been blessed in many ways to be familiar enough now with the teachings of the Church and what it says about our role in the public square, and in part on what Vatican II did call us to do, which is to transform society. And that's what I think, I'd like to think Catholics in the Capitol is an example of doing that. Is everybody on board, John?
No.
Unfortunately, I wish I could tell you that you're wrong, but, you know, I would be remiss to tell you that. But I do think what we're trying to do is to correct that situation and do exactly what you're recommending, and that's an example of this Catholics at the Capitol thing. I think the bishops are supportive of it, but, they have administrative problems as well, and it's not 100% perfect, but I do sense as well, though, I would say, and I'd look for validation or disagreement from some of the other people in the studio, that I think some of the younger members of the clergy who are now being ordained, I find some leadership there. I find bright lights with the people who are coming into the priesthood and becoming priests now.
Absolutely.
So it's not perfect, but I'd like to think we're at least making progress.
And we have to understand, too, that the civil rights movement was not a flash in the pan. It wasn't something that developed over a decade. It was something that stood on the shoulders of abolition, anti-slavery work in this country we're talking about a century, basically. We're talking about a very long time. So, and even at its peak, when Martin Luther King was making great strides, there was still some disagreement, sadly, in the community. But in the pro-life movement, we are standing on the shoulders of those who went before us. And we should not be discouraged. I know 36 years of abortion on demand is horrifying, more than a million abortions a year, but we are making great strides. And these things, when there's an injustice that is institutionalized in our nation, it takes a long time to root out and to change hearts and minds. And so we're really making a lot of progress. And, you know, the church, I've got to say, is the leader. No matter what state I go to, if it's Arkansas, even, where there are very few Catholics, who is out there marching at the Capitol? It's the church leading the way. So it's a great blessing, the Catholic Church. We can always be stronger, and we're working for that. But there's a lot of good going on. So,
yeah, and we're going to need to go to our final break of the show, and we'll still take your calls, and you can reach us at 312-255-8408. And again, this will be our final break, so stay tuned. And thank you, John, for your call. That was a great question. So stay tuned.
Democracy is a wonderful thing, but how many of us really take part in exercising the freedoms we are so blessed to have in this country? Now here's your chance to let your voice be heard.
Wednesday, March 4th is Catholics at the Capitol Day. The Catholic Conference of Illinois invites you to join hundreds of Catholics in Springfield as we talk to lawmakers about key faith-based issues.
Let's push for legislation to decrease abortions, protect traditional marriage, support Catholic charities, hospitals, and nursing homes, and to get our Catholic schools the financial support they deserve.
1,000 Catholic school children, Cardinal George, our bishops, clergy, and laity will descend on Springfield. Join us.
Visit CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org or call 312-368-1066 for details. That's CatholicConferenceOfIllinois.org or 312-368-1066.
We hope to see you in Springfield on Wednesday, March 4th for Catholics at the Capitol Day. Let's live our democracy.
Do you want to serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God's Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552. Or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Margie Breen from the Respect Life office, and I'm joined on the phone with Mary Louise Curry, my co-host, who's normally the host, and Bob Gilligan, the executive director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. And in studio, we've got Father Jim Hyde, who is the Archbishop's delegate to the pro-life movement. That's a pretty cool title. And Mitch Streedle, the youth outreach coordinator for the Respect Life office. He's my colleague. And so we were talking to Bob in, you know, with the group here, you know, in studio and with Mary Louise about Catholics at the Capitol and this whole thing, the civil rights movement idea, you know, that the fight against abortion and building a culture of life is like a civil rights movement. And, you know, Father Jim, you were talking during the break with us about this type of movement and this fight. What are your thoughts on this?
We had Alveda King over this past weekend for Speak Out Illinois, and I've gotten to know Alveda for she's been a colleague for the last 6 or 7 years, and she's got a group called King for America, and she's the niece of Martin Luther King. And through the window of Alveda's life and work, I've gotten to learn a little bit about the civil rights movement through her. And I think it's important, given John's concerns, that we study a lot about the civil rights movement. One thing, it wasn't always in unison either. I mean, Martin Luther King was a pastor, a great preacher, but he took a moderate role. He wasn't like Malcolm X, a more militant, nor was he always some of the the legal remedies offered by some members of the movement were much more cautious. And so I think it's akin to what we face in the Catholic Church. It's you know, there are divisions in the movement, different approaches. But I would say, by and large, since the 70s, the Catholic Church has been at the forefront of this, trying to tie in civil rights and confronting abortion. And we've done a pretty stellar job. We're not always united. And as was mentioned, we're getting stronger leadership, especially with the priests and the spirit of John Paul II. And we've got Faithful Citizenship, that document that's been really honed down since the 70s. It's been worked on and to get Catholics into the public forum. I mean, we got the message out there. And also the bishops wrote Living the Gospel of Life. And so there is leadership out here. And we're trying to mobilize our people to respond. And there's a lot of apathy out there. But I think we're moving ahead with things.
Yeah. Absolutely. And to see, too, I was blessed these past few days to speak at the annual workshop for bishops for the National Catholic Bioethics Center. And they host this. Actually, it's every other year. And I was just doing an optional breakout session. But there was a tremendous turnout. I believe there were about 150 bishops gathered to hear about and learn about all of the cutting-edge legislative issues and bioethical issues and what's going on with that and how we can be more effective in spreading the gospel of life. So it was exciting to me to see such a tremendous focus that this is a great priority for them in our country, and that's a great blessing.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I think confirmation of that, surprisingly, you may have talked about this already before I got on, but there was a Gallup poll that came out recently about the public's reaction to the first couple policies of the Obama administration. And I found it fascinating that only 35%, this is a Gallup poll, only 35% of the people supported President Obama's decision on reversing the Mexico City policy, which is an anti-life provision. And of all the things that Obama has done so far, most of them polled very positively. The only two that I recall that did not was, it was about a 50-50 on the Guantanamo decision, but only 35% of the people support. So that tells me there's we're making progress.
We're building a culture of life. We're changing hearts and minds, and there is hope. And it's not time to turn tail and run and hide in a cave and all that stuff. You know, I can't come up with more sayings. But you know, thinking about what Father said, and I was reading "Dwell in My Love" last night because of Black History Month being in February, and you know, Cardinal George reflected on that. During the civil rights movement, you know, while priests and nuns and Catholic lay faithful were fighting for civil rights for African Americans and for, you know, equal rights, right, that there were still priests and there were still nuns and lay people who weren't with the program. They were afraid in many cases to stand up for what was right, for justice. And it, I think that right now we have some of that, and it's because of original sin, don't you think? I mean, you're not going to have everybody on board. But I think we're looking even better than when the civil rights movement happened.
Well, and too, I think one of the things, you know, we had the wonderful opportunity. We went out to D.C. We had this prayer vigil and walk and heard Dr. King speak. But, you know, part of it, too, is that the apathy that Father Hyde talks about is, unlike the civil rights movement, this kind of the, you know, abortion is kind of that thing you don't see. You know, it's not you know, something that you see as you did during the civil rights movement. I think that is a hurdle to overcome. But I think one of the things I've heard from several African-American pro-life leaders is that, you know, at least one thing with the election of Obama is that it'll kind of bring to the forefront this understanding of how harmful abortion has been to the African-American community. You know, it can't hide as much as it used to. And maybe Father Hyde can talk a little bit about that.
There's the PBS special, Sisters of Selma. If you watch that particular documentary, you see how a lot of our nuns and sisters went down to the South. Or you see pictures of Martin Luther King with priests and nuns marching with them. And we should be proud of that history. And Cardinal George, in a letter to the bishops in November the 10th, talks about that with this new presidency, is that, you know, we're overcoming a lot of racial divides, and we have a lot of our history that, you know, oftentimes Catholics are a little timid in the public forum, or we've gone through a lot of problems internally in the church. But to recall this history and to tie it into the work of pro-life, and you're right, Mitch, I think we struggle with contraception and abortion and how the moral code of this country has been totally transformed, you know, this mentality that sex is recreational. And so there's a lot of conflicted consciences and souls. So we have to overcome some of these things to build a new culture. But there's no question that our legacy is there in terms of supporting the life of the preborn, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, before the show closes, I wanted to put out there for our listeners a couple of opportunities that are coming up to really make a difference. One is to join us for this Catholics at the Capitol Day. And I just got information that we're going to have at least one bus, and hopefully, depending on the turnout of interest, we might have more than one. And our departure point is going to be Mary Seat of Wisdom Parish in Park Ridge. Father Gunderson has offered for us to use his lot so people can leave their cars there for the day, and we'll be leaving very early in the morning on March 4th, and we'll be driving down to Springfield together and then meeting with legislators. So I would recommend, you know, listeners out there right now who want to make a difference, especially on this ultrasound bill, to, you know, find a friend who lives near you, who's in the same district, and go and join us for this this day. So we'll leave probably around 6 or 6:15 in the morning, and then we'll return probably around 6 or 6:15 at night. And it's going to be a great day, and I really encourage people to join us. That's going to be March 4th. And if you're interested, give us a call at 312-534-5355. We're just working out the details, but we can at least take your information and then get back to you once we have more things set. And again, that's 312-534-5355. And then the other opportunity is, as our listeners probably know, in December, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith released a very important document on bioethics called Dignitas Personae. And we've put together a major conference analyzing this document. Cardinal George will be speaking on the document. We'll also have Dr. Thomas Hilgers, who is a great pioneer in assisting couples who are facing infertility using moral means, and he has a much greater success rate than in vitro fertilization. So Dr. Hilgers will be with us, Cardinal George, and also Father Ted Poholchik, the renowned neuroscientist, Yale-educated neuroscientist with the National Catholic Bioethics Center. So that's going to be coming up on March 28th. So I encourage people to give us a call at 312-534-5355 for more information on these upcoming events.
That's wonderful. Yeah, well, there are so many opportunities, and the one thing that we try to do in the Respect Life office, Mary Louise, right, we like to offer these educational options for people and to inspire them. People need to be together and that fellowship, don't you think?
Absolutely. And these will be great days for networking, learning about more about the gospel of life, bioethics issues, and how to make a difference. So these are, both of these are great opportunities. So I really encourage people, and particularly timely at this moment in our state legislature right now, to bring this bill forward. You know, we need to show there's a lot of support for these common sense measures that truly will save lives.
Well, thank you, Mary Louise. We're almost to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank Bob Gilligan. Thank you for being on with us, and I know you'd probably traveled a lot last night, and you're tired.
No, thanks. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. These are very important issues.
Definitely. And Mitch Streedle, Youth Outreach Coordinator in the Respect Life Office, thank you. And Father Hyde, thank you as well. And I'd like Father Hyde to give us a blessing here to close out the show.
Let us pray. This morning our cathedral, our spiritual home, was engulfed in flames and damaged. People are numb and hurting in our archdiocese. At times our society and culture gets engulfed in flames and people are hurting. And so, Lord, you are the phoenix. You rise above the ashes. You give us life. Bless us and your people today and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Life Talk. And we're on the first Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m. for a whole hour. So please tune in next month. Thank you, and God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.